Acts chapter 16, Acts 16, verse 22. If you're here today, we are glad you're here. And if you're a visitor, we're glad you're here too. Amen. Acts 16, 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailers to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Say, the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Somebody else heard them. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. You can go ahead and be seated. I want to start out by saying I heard a story a long time ago. I'll probably get some of the details wrong, but basically it was a young man had walked into the pastor's office and he said, "I'm done." And the pastor said, "You're done." He said, I'm done. He said, "I'm tired of trying to live the Christian life. I'm tired of trying to walk the Christian walk, and I'm finished now. So I just wanted to let you know that I won't be back, that I quit." In my 30-some years of serving Jesus, I've seen a lot of people quit. You know, I've learned, Kevin, anybody can quit. Anybody can give up. Anybody can throw in the towel. Anybody can walk away. Anybody can say it's too hard. But sons of God weren't designed to give up. Sons of God were designed to endure to the end. Sons of God have something in them that makes them more than conquerors. Sons of God have something in them that gives them the strength to push through. Sons of God have something in them, and that they have is called the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but I know this. I am sealed until the day of redemption. As Brother Eddie has said a lot, and I've repeated it a lot, I'm going to heaven if he has to drag me every step of the way, because I belong to him and he purchased me. I want you to walk out into the sanctuary and just let him know that you appreciate what he did for you while you served him. He said, "Okay, I'll do that." He walked out into the sanctuary and he said, "God, I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm leaving. I'm not living the Christian life anymore. But before I go, I do want to thank you for picking me up every time I was down. And God, before I go, I want to thank you for all those times that I needed you to comfort me. You were there to give me comfort, and I appreciate that. And God, for those times that I was sick, and they prayed for me and you made me well before I quit, I want to thank you for that. And Lord, I want to thank you for that time that I really needed that job and I didn't know if I was qualified enough, but God, you made a way where I could get that job. And God, before I quit, I want to let you know I appreciate you in the midnight hours when there was nobody else to talk to. I want to take a moment and thank you for being there in the midnight hour. And God, you know, the more I think about it, I want to thank you just for being you. I want to thank you because you're awesome. I want to thank you because you're powerful. I want to thank you because there's none like you. Beside you, there is no other. As a matter of fact, God, there's no way I can quit now because you've been so good to me. I can't quit. This is the plan of the enemy, to get your mind distracted, that you forget how awesome your God really is. Trials come our way and we start getting perplexed way too soon because we forget who God is. I've said this before, this is worth repeating. Too many times we take our problems to God when what we should be doing, instead of going, "God, here is my problem," we should be going, "Hey, problem, this is my God. I want you to meet the one who is so awesome that there is no devil in hell that can overtake him, that can win a battle. I want to insert this into your thinking today. God has never entered a battle that he did not walk out the victor. If he's ever done something for you, clap your hands because he's good." Paul and Silas had an effective ministry. God was moving in their life. effective ministry, not just a ministry. I've seen people, Brother Tim, over the years of my life, I've seen people start ministries, and those ministries fail. The reason those ministries fail is because they lose sight of what ministry is for. Easy to get tired. Easy. Let me tell you when ministry's fun, at the beginning. It was Paul that would set up the church and tell Timothy, get you some bishops, get you some deacons, set this church up, get it right, appoint you some elders. And as we read through Timothy, we find out in 2 Timothy, he says, oh yeah, Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ rose from the dead according to my gospel. What a reminder. Hey, Timothy, get the church set up. And then he had to remind him, remember, Jesus is alive, Timothy. Because if we don't put him as the focus of everything we do, people will let you down. Systems will let you down. Jobs will let you down. Spouses will let you down. But when you got your mind made up and you're doing it from him, I want to tell you there is no way he will ever let you down. I love you, people. I love you. But I don't do this for you. I do this for him because he asked me to do it. Yes, I love you. If you need me, I'll be there. But I know one thing. Your flesh and you'll let me down. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And I've never seen his seed begging bread. Why is that, preacher? Because he knows how to care for what belongs to him. Paul and Silas, effective ministry. Why? They knew who Jesus was. Arguments would take place between the apostles. That's right. They argued. What you thought because they were disciples, they were all perfect. They were a mess. One of them denied him three times. Paul was an ex-murderer. Of course, so was Moses. So was David. That's crazy. Three ex-murderers wrote most of our Bible. God can use you if you know who he is. Paul had an experience with Jesus so effective that in this story, there's a woman that's following him around. She has a spirit. A divination. And when you look up that word, Jensen Franklin did a powerful sermon on this years ago. Said it's the only spirit that's actually named in the New Testament. And if you look up that word, it's Python. Does anybody remember that sermon? The spirit of Python. That divination. It's a spirit that squeezes. Little by little, it begins to squeeze the life. And the more you try to wrestle out of it, the more it takes control of you. You can't do this through your flesh. You can't win this battle on your own. This is a spiritual battle, and to win this battle, you need the Spirit. If you think the spirit of Pharaoh is not alive and well today, you haven't looked around. If you think the spirit of Herod is dead and gone, that spirit is still alive today. If you think the spirit of Jezebel is long and gone, that spirit is still alive today. All these spirits haven't died, but there is one spirit that trumps every other spirit. There's one spirit that'll take over the spirit of Pharaoh, Herod, Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, every king, every entity that ever walked, that's the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit lives in me right now. Right now. Oh, man. I don't know, Dave, man. I feel a fire in my soul. We've been asleep too long. I always said this, and I said it for years. When I started a church, I said, you know what? Pastors start a church, and then it grows to a certain spot, and then they get into maintenance mode. You got to be nervous when you're a pastor in maintenance mode because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings because now you got a budget. Be careful, preacher. We just bought a lot of land up there. Don't make the big givers mad. It ain't my bill. It's his bill. It ain't my debt. It's his. And I know this. He's able to take care of it. All he asked me to do was preach the truth. And the truth is, Paul and Silas had an experience with Jesus. And when they had an experience with Jesus, they knew exactly what he called them to do. The magistrates got upset because Paul got sick and tired of this woman following him around and saying, these men are bringing the gospel of the Most High. Paul got aggravated. And Perry turned around and he told the spirit to come out of her. Now we're in trouble. You know why we're in trouble? Because she was making them some cash money, homie. She was making them some cash. And now their cash cow was gone. You can mess with a lot of things with people. Don't mess with their kids, grandkids, or their wallet. Or in Eddie Tucker's case, his grass. They were in trouble. So they said, that's it. That's it. Bring them in here. Beat them. They were beat. They laid many stripes on them. And I want to insert this into your thinking right now. Paul and Silas took that willingly. You know how I know they took it willingly? Because they were Roman citizens. You weren't allowed to take them in private and have a little scourging without anybody knowing and without there being a trial. They took it willingly. After all of that, they get put in the inner prison. And after all of that, I know you've heard this preached so many times, but at midnight, I'll tell you something about midnight. Midnight is where your yesterday meets your tomorrow. Midnight is the beginning of a new day. It's still dark, but it's a new day. Let me say that again. It's a new day. Let me tell you something about new days. God's mercy is new every morning. Every single morning, God's mercy is new. I don't care what you did yesterday. When you got up this morning, there was fresh mercy waiting on you. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But right now, you got mercy. You got grace. You got peace. You got God right now. They started singing after all of that. After all of that, they started singing praises to God. Your praise is a weapon. Your worship is a weapon. Let me say that again. Your praise is a weapon. Lee Stone King said it like this. He said, studies have been done when the human voice is elevated and begins to shout. It literally scrambles the air. The sound waves move the air. It pierces the air. Your Bible says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. What are you saying? When you shout unto God with a voice of triumph, it pierces the prince of the power of the air. It's why the devil tries everything he can do to keep your hands down, to not give him praise, not lift your voice. But this Bible that I've got says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Somebody lift up your voice and let the devil know, I'm a child of the King. We, as Pentecostals, people who understand the power of what happened at Pentecost, have mixed some things up sometimes. Mike, I talk about it a lot, but I think it's worth talking about today. The way I grew up, Bethany, praise was not an option. You sat there with a sad little look on your face. Somebody come and get you. You You not paying attention? They coming for you. Oh, anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like this right here. See, he don't know what's about to happen. He don't know which way he's going to go. And then, boy, that gets you. They'd let me go. I didn't have the spin thing down. And they spun me anyway. One fella, I bounced off his chair so many times, wore my shins out. I said, man, I got to learn how to spin. I got dizzy just now doing that. Did you? It, me too. I just got dizzy. It took me a second. Man, this old man, his name was Brother George Pendergrass. George didn't spin. George had a cool little. I was standing in church one day as a young man. I said, I like George. George had it going on. I said, I'm going to do that too. Man, that comes sometimes to get me to spin. I'd say, why would they do that? Did you think they liked making me dizzy? Why would they do that? I'm going to tell you why they did it. Because they knew the power of praise. And I don't know if you know this or not, but if you look up in Scripture, the word joy means to spin. The Bible says leap for joy. Not leap because you have joy, leap for joy. What does that mean? That means if you need God to move in something in your life, just start leaping. You need joy, start leaping. Don't leap because of it, leap for it. Because God will give you something if you worship Him. I need joy. Leap for it. Well, I don't want to look silly. Well, then sit there. If you're worried about what people think about you, they're just as crazy as you are. Look at the person beside you right now and say, you are dysfunctional. Tarina, you're dysfunctional. I'm dysfunctional. All God's children are dysfunctional. Amen. Amen. What does it matter? They didn't save you. They didn't die for you. They didn't carry your cross. They weren't crucified for you. They weren't buried for you. They didn't raise it. I want to show forth the praises of Him that brought me out of darkness into this marvelous light. You didn't do it. He did it. Paul and Silas begin to sing praises at midnight. It's still dark, but it's a new day. It may still be dark in your situation. Praise Him anyway. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. If the devil was going to kill me, he should have killed me in the night. If the devil was going to snuff me out, he should have did it in the night. If the devil is going to mess me up, he should have did it in the night. Because this morning, oh, this morning, when I got up, His mercy was new. His mercy was new. His mercy was new. You should have got me last night, because this morning, oh, this morning, His mercy's new. Joshua, I want you to go take the city of Jericho. Yes, sir. Military campaign. They're at war. God called him to be the new general. Yes, sir. We're going to take Jericho. How do you want us to do it? With a shout? Huh? How are we going to do that? How's that work? How does that happen? I'm going to tell you how it happens. When you obey God, things begin to happen. There was four of them. There was four leprous men sitting outside of the street of Samaria. They were besieged. They were surrounded by Ben-Hadad. Nobody could go in that city and nobody could come out. There are four leprous men sitting there. And Ben-Hadad and that Assyria army had them surrounded. They were in bad shape. Read the story. They are eating dove's dung and boiling their own children. Oh, but those four leprous men begin to talk to one another. They said, if we go, we might die. If we stay here, we may die. But we're going to get up and we're going to march. And those four leprous men stood up, an unlikely group. It wasn't a captain of the army. It wasn't even a prince of the city. It wasn't the king. It was none of that. It was four people that had problems, and they were maimed, and they got up, and they started walking toward the Syrian army. Ben-Hadad and his men heard something totally different. God got in their feet, and when he got in their feet, those four men marching toward the enemy, they said, I hear an exceeding great army. When you begin to move in the spirit, your enemy will hear something different. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise in your life cannot be optional. Tell you what, I'll worship if the singing's good. I used to, when I was a kid, preacher used to preach and get that foam in the corners. I'm always nervous. I don't remember many of his sermons. I just remember the foam. You can't allow praise to be optional. Wait a minute, I do remember one sermon. He said, if you are expecting to happen to you what happened to them on Pentecost, you have another thing coming, because that doesn't happen anymore. And I'm a little kid sitting there saying, I don't know a lot of the Bible, but I know that ain't right. First of all, who are you get to telling me how God is going to deal with me? And God is no respecter of persons. You hear me? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I meddle for just a minute? You are not going to sit down and read the Bible and come out with the idea of the doctrine of cessation. You're not going to read this Bible and get to the end of it and say, yeah, the gifts ain't for the church no more. Healing don't work no more. None of that happens anymore. Prophecy's not needed anymore. No, when you get to this Bible and you read through it, you're going to say, if the Corinthians should be coveting the best gifts, I should be coveting the best gifts. Because there's nowhere in this Bible that says it ended. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. They say that that means the canon of Scripture and we don't need it anymore. That's not talking about the canon of Scripture. That's talking about Jesus. And when he comes back, I won't need any gifts because I'll have him. But until then, I need the Spirit moving in my church. How are we going to do this, Lord? Come on. Come on, Aaron. Make that keyboard make a horn sound. Not a car horn. Some of y'all been blowing them all week. I was looking at my son. Because we're on a phone call the other day. And I hear, meep. And it came through my truck and I went, ugh. I said, was that you? Yeah, it's minivan. I said, you scared me to death. Marched around. One day, next day, the next day, the next day. Didn't say a word. Listen, when they didn't say anything, guess what happened? Nothing. But then they marched around seven times. You got my horn ready? Now that was real. Yeah, I was serious. Listens to instructions. C sharp, that's what I sing in. No, that's real. Don't laugh. Don't you even laugh. Yeah, I don't know if that's a good horn or not. You got what? 300? Well, let's try another one. Hold on. Wait, yeah, 300 horns. I need a little more brassy. Hold on, we didn't practice this. It's getting closer. Put some bass on it. Everything's better with a little bass on it. It's close enough. I don't think we're going to find it. But I want you to imagine they're walking around walls. And he said, sound the trumpet. Let me hear it. No, hold it. Yeah, there's my effect. That's the effect I'm looking for. God, is this how we do it? Hit it again. God, is this way we're going to do this? He said, Joshua, open up your voice. He said, shout. You need God to move. Somebody open your voice. You need God to move. Open your mouth wide. He'll feel it. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Somebody in this place praise him. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. I want to fill you in. The walls begin to crumble. The walls begin to shake. The walls begin to shake. The enemy did not know, but God knew. Because when God got in the shout, things begin to happen. All you got to do is praise him. All you got to do is worship him. You gotta praise through it. You gotta praise through it. I can't quit. I can't quit. You've been too good to me, Jesus. Ain't gonna lay my armor down. Ain't gonna lay my armor down. Ain't gonna lay my armor down till he comes. I'm not gonna lay my armor down. My voice is a weapon. My praise gets the attention of heaven. Watch this. Paul and Silas begin to praise. And when they begin to praise, the prisoners heard them. I want you to watch this. Every prison cell was opened because they praised at midnight. Hey, Doug, come here, Doug. You holding a baby? Come here, Doug. Oh, you know what, Doug? Sometimes I look at situations and I fuss. You ever fuss about your lost children, your lost family? Fussing ain't been working, has it? Fussing ain't working, complaining ain't working. But boy, if I can praise God in a way that their prison cell opens, if I can praise God in a way that the Spirit begins to move and their prison walls open, their gate opens. All the other prisoners, if I can praise them in a way when they're free to walk out, but there's something going on in the prison that keeps them there. Let's praise Him, Doug. Let's praise Him. God, I thank You, Lord. I thank You because You're a Savior. I thank You, Lord, because You're still moving. I thank You, Lord, because that cross wasn't velvet. It wasn't easy, but You didn't bear it in vain, Lord. Save, deliver, set free, liberate. In the name of Jesus, I thank You for it. One more thing. David Gibbs with the CLA. If you don't know what the CLA is, that's a Christian Law Association. And what they do is they defend churches that are being sued all over the country. It's a ministry that he has. He said people call him up, pastors call up, and they say, Brother Gibbs, we're being sued, and we're in a bad spot. We never thought this could happen to us. We're in a bad spot. What should we do? He said, first, we're going to give thanks. They said, what? I'm calling you because we need legal action. I'm calling you because you're a lawyer. He said, that's exactly right. But the first thing we're going to do is give thanks. They said, why is that? He said, he tells them, because the Bible says, in all things, give thanks. He said, if you're not giving thanks, you're out of the will of God. And we might as well not even play this game if we're out of the will of God. So I know it's rough, but we're going to thank God we're in this situation. You may be in a situation right now, don't look good. You may even need legal help yourself. Stop right now. Give God thanks. Stop right now. Give God thanks. Let me hear it, John. Let me hear it, Aaron, one more time. Somebody give Him thanks. Let those walls fall down. Give Him praise. That came to Jesus, 10 of them. 10 lepers came to Jesus, and he prayed for them. And after he prayed for them, he said, go show yourself to the priest, because the priest had to look at them and declare them to be clean. As they're walking along, one out of the 9 stopped. The other 9 kept going to see the priest, and he turned around and he went back to give Jesus thanks. Listen to this. This is awesome. Jesus says, were there not 10 healed? Where are the other 9? Watch what he said. He said, go thy way. No. You got to get this. Sometimes giving Jesus praise will save you a trip to the priest. Sometimes giving Jesus praise will save you a trip to the doctor. Sometimes giving Jesus praise will save you a trip to the lawyer. Sometimes giving Jesus praise will save you a trip to the therapist. Sometimes giving Jesus praise will save you a trip to divorce court. Sometimes giving Jesus praise will save you some trips. Oh, you got a prayer request. Hold your hand up. God's good. God is so good. Look around this building. There's a lot to pray about. There's a lot to pray about. Now raise your hand if you got a little nervous. I was getting ready to dismiss. 3 people. The rest of y'all good. Sam's doing a really good job working on this new building. I appreciate you, Sam. but I don't trust just you. Or don't let me go. We're going to praise God together. Because if shouting will tear walls down, I believe shouting will build some walls up. Thank you, Jesus. 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 God, move, God. God, I want to see a revival, Lord. Save some souls. Set some people on fire for your kingdom. God, this life is but a vapor. God, I need some room. I need some latitude, Lord. God, I need to expand my borders, Lord. Expand my borders, Lord. Move the tent posts. God, we praise you, Jesus, because there's an army. There's an army that you're going to rise up in southern West Virginia. Lord, I believe you. I praise you for it. You died for it. You was buried for it. You rose again for it. Raise it up, raise it up, raise it up, raise it up. Oh, if you need to go, you're dismissed. If you need to go, you're dismissed. Oh.